Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. Vitamins and supplements are one of the best basic ways to ensure you're meeting your body's nutritional needs. But it can feel impossible to figure out which ones to take, especially when you're standing in that vitamin aisle without a knowledgeable professional there to help you out. I know I've spent hundreds of hours in my own vitamin research over the years, and I still find myself second-guessing and turning around to find more information before I'm really sure I'm making the best choice for my own body. Care of is a new kind of vitamin company. Honesty is their cornerstone, so you'll feel like you're speaking to a friend who has your best interest at heart. TakeCareOf.com. Breeze through a quick questionnaire about your diet and health goals, and you can arrive at a personalized list of the best natural supplements that your unique body needs. Each vitamin is described in detail. Where in the world is the best ingredients from, and how are they processed? The benefits are all listed, and the honest results of case studies conducted with it. Everything is easily displayed alongside your recommended dose. Once you review, edit, and confirm your personalized order, your first monthly shipment will be on its way. Your supplements come in personalized daily packs, making your daily routine super duper easy. Getting recurring monthly orders means that you never have to miss a day or deal with replacing bottles. You can modify your subscription at any time too. Best of all, you actually save money when you get your vitamins from Care of compared to your local health food store. My Care of daily packs include adaptogen and energy boosting vitamins, which are super helpful for me as a mom these days. Go to takecareof.com right now for your personalized recommendation. Use the offer code HEART and get 50% off of your first month's order. That's takecareof.com. The offer code is HEART. Takecareof.com. Hi, and welcome to another episode of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. Today on the show, I have... I have Dennis on the show today. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, world.
You know that people ask almost every day for you to come back on the show?
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing. I don't know why.
But you know that the podcast episode that we did is the highest viewed podcast show of all the episodes.
I didn't know that.
No?
I thought that Amelia would...
Nope. It's you and I, and then Amelia's episode, and then I think the birth story, something like that. Hmm. So I know you don't love to sit here and talk to the world through the mic. But I'm really grateful that you joined me. And everyone listening, thank you for nagging him and for really making this happen. But what is it about recording the podcast that you don't love?
I don't mind it at all, to be honest. I just don't think I have much to say, or I don't think I'm an interesting person. That is one. And then the second is that if you're recording a podcast, that means someone needs to be with the baby girl.
Yeah, okay. Logistical stuff. Yeah. Well, I think... you are a really interesting person. And we have interesting stuff to share. Baby girl right now, she's with my sister, my little sister Maya. She's 16. She explicitly said, if she poops, I'm coming over. So we might have to cut this podcast make a little break to change the diaper if that happens. But how are you feeling?
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That, yeah. What else should I put?
I don't know. How is life? How is... We recorded this podcast last. It was 21 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot has happened. We have now a six-month-old. She turned half a year yesterday.
Yeah, that's true.
We've had a lot of ups and downs, mostly ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's it like? How is your end of the table right now?
It's been good for me. I think I'm in a good place. I'm pretty happy. We're going back home on Saturday, but Stockholm has been good to me. So,
yeah. Do you wanna move here?
Probably not. But
you know, the answer to that question used to be yes. Like, you always wanted to live in Sweden.
Oh well, I do want to live somewhere outside of Aruba for at least a year, but I don't see myself living here my whole life. I don't see. Like, wherever we move to will be like a temporary house, but home for me will be Aruba.
Yeah. Someone said that yesterday. They're like, oh, are you looking forward to going to the warmth and the beach again? I'm like, yeah, I really miss home. Hmm. They're like, home? So Aruba's really home? But, I mean, you've been there your whole life, 31 years. I've been there for 7 years.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, but we're traveling a lot too. Less now with a baby, but I mean... If we're on the island for 7 years, you would go crazy.
Hell yeah.
But I mean, if you're getting off the island here and there, then it's perfect.
Yeah, we've been in Sweden now for 11 weeks this summer. It's way more than we had anticipated.
Yeah, I think 3 whole months.
Yeah, no, more. First 5 weeks and then, oh yeah, 3 whole months. Yeah, you're right. Okay, my math is really off. But it's good. But so we've been taking some questions through social media. I know I have some things I want to cover. The number one requested question now that I asked if anyone has something to ask you is, how was Iron Man?
It was awesome. No, I had a really good time. I enjoyed every kilometer of it. And
well, that's such a weird thing.
Yeah, it was nice. I really enjoyed it. I took it slow. Don't get me wrong, like I didn't go at my capable pace. I went to finish. So I took my time on the bike. I took, I think, 3 pee breaks. I stopped to stretch my legs. And running, I walked during the marathon. I walked so much and intervals, run, walk. So I wasn't longing for it to be over. Like, I was actually enjoying it.
I feel like you're the only person who responds in that way, because it's such a... can you share, like, what are the distances again?
I can do that in kilometers, yeah. Even though most people know miles. So I did 3.9 kilometers.
Which took of swimming.
Swimming. You start with swimming. Yeah, I don't know. That's like 2.3 miles, I would say.
But like an hour and 15 minutes of swimming.
It took me an hour and 18 minutes. I had to stop twice because both legs cramped in the water. So I had to like get out of the herd of people moving through, because otherwise you're going to be crushed by all the other swimmers. So you had to go off I went off the course for a second to lie on my back, float on my back. And then as the cramps got less, I massaged both calves and then I got back into the herd and continued.
But the water was pretty cold, no?
The water was, yeah, for an Aruban kid, sure, it was really cold. But I did a half Ironman in the beginning of the summer up north in Sweden. And that was really cold. I couldn't keep my face in the water.
In Vansbro.
So if I had to compare it with that, the water was fine. It wasn't murky, it was clear, even though it was brown, it's not Aruba turquoise blue, but you could still see. It wasn't like black in front of you, and that helps a lot too when you swim.
That was my only, my biggest fear, because I was Googling like how many people have ever died doing an Ironman.
Yeah.
Like I was, because you're such a determined person, I feel like your mind is like even stronger than your body. So I had this worry that if you would get injured or halfway through, like you would like mess up your knee or your hamstring or something would happen, that you would like continue pushing through and then you would end up with like a real injury. And then I was Googling like, what's the worst thing that can happen in an Ironman? And it turns out like a bunch of people died during Ironman, and it was almost always in the water.
It used to be, yeah, it used to be different. The start used to be a mass start. I don't know how many of you have seen an Ironman start before, but back in the day, when the gun goes off, the clock goes off. That means that if you're all the way in the back and you want to set a good time, if you're all the way in the back, it takes you 15 minutes before you get into the water.
That's not fair.
So it's not fair, but that means that that person is more eager to get into the water and they don't care who's in their way. And of
Yeah.
course, if you get underneath
The herd.
the herd, the stampede, like you're, I don't know, people, I guess, drowned, but I'm not sure if last year or 2 years ago they changed it that most of the Ironman now has a rolling start, which means the gun goes off, but your clock goes off. Your clock starts when you cross the start line.
So you can take your time and
You
you
can
don't have
take your
to
time,
rush.
yeah. And
Because it's most, I mean, I okay, I did a little
sprint.
mini bullshit version of a triathlon, a tiny sprint triathlon. But people just elbow you in the face and like, and that was like not even a
Yeah, that was a
big deal.
small
I
one.
was the last one immediately because I was just okay, one, I suck at swimming, and two, it's super scary to just be in that group of people that are like eager to win at something or to, you know.
Yeah, and just people just want to go. They don't want to get
Yeah.
stuck.
But this one, there was like how many thousands of people did this Ironman?
I think it was 3,000. I can't remember if it was a little under 3,000 or if it was more than 3,000, but it was I just remember the number 3,000.
And then okay, so it took you 1 hour and 18 minutes,
To swim.
4 kilometers almost of swimming,
Yeah.
and then you got on the bike.
Then I got on a bike. That's 180 kilometers. Yeah.
100 miles.
No, 118 miles.
118 miles. Okay, a lot of miles.
A lot of miles. And
And there's this app, right? So Dennis was doing this in Kalmar, and then me and Olivia with the 109 group, our mission trip, mission foundation, we had a trip supporting for female empowerment happening in Öland. So there's this app. I couldn't be there during the day, but we were tracking you, and it was really, really intense. It's kind of like watching Narcos. Like yesterday you fell asleep and I'm like, what's gonna happen next? Like it was like really, yeah, because you could see every like little marker that you passed, if you had slowed down or picked up the pace, and we didn't know how you felt, like if you were in pain or if it was easy. Yeah, but you were on the bike for
6.5 hours,
holy
and
shit.
that went a little slower than I gave myself like a lot of I kind of planned out how I wanted to do it conservatively. And the biking, I thought I was going to do it under 6 hours, and I put my conservative time at 6.5 hours, but it turned out it was 6.5 hours. And I didn't push myself to the limit, but I wasn't really going slow either.
But it was super windy.
The wind had a huge effect. There was a wind. The wind was 20, 25 knots. I don't know if that says anything to you. It was just really windy, and there was two not really steep climbs because Kalmar is pretty flat, but there was two little climbs against the wind, and yeah, it just slowed me down completely,
But
but
then
that was
somewhere
okay.
there, because I was teaching, and then we were done teaching, and I was with the baby, and Patrick texts, he's like, I'm gonna go and see if I can like catch Dennis on the bike.
Yeah, he
So
saw me like three or four
he
times.
saw you way more than I did. He was a more dedicated family member. But then I got in the car with my mom and with my sisters and with the baby, and it was really hard to like determine where we had to be to pat see you. And then we were following the app, and we found this place where we could pause and wait, and we thought it would be like maybe 15, 20 minutes, and we stood there, and then I'm like, you know, I'm gonna just take the baby out so that when he comes in 5 or 10 minutes, like we're ready. And I got her out and I turned around and there you were. And it was like 2 seconds. Like we got to like wave and then you were gone. It's kind of hard to be like a solid supporter during the Ironman because you can't like
During the
follow.
bike, yeah, during the bike is a little harder compared to the swim or the run, because those are more in a smaller area, which is easier to go from one side to the other side as a spectator. With the bike, that you go so far that
Yeah, even with a
it's
car, like we couldn't keep up.
yeah, but the traffic is blocked too. You can't go anywhere and.
Yeah, we ended up behind the last person biking, who was just this older man, and it was so sad because behind him is like the ambulance and all these Iron Man like people, and it was just they're like pushing him, like
Yeah.
he must have felt a lot of pressure. Maybe he just decided to totally chill.
But everyone everyone finished the biking
part. Finished the biking, yeah.
Which is pretty amazing, yeah.
But when Patrick saw you the first time, you took a break to pee.
Yeah.
And then you told him that your knee was bothering you.
That was actually the last time I saw him. It was in the first time.
Oh, okay.
It was halfway through the biking. And I stopped for my first pee break. And it was right after the really long climb. It was maybe a 10-mile climb against the wind. And my right knee started to... It didn't start to hurt, but I could feel that something is going to happen if I keep pushing it for another 10 hours. So I just asked him, hey, is there a doctor here? I could really use some liniment or Tiger Balm just to put a little icy hot feeling on my right side of my knee. And I guess he panicked. He's yeah, like, oh, he needs a doctor. He needs a doctor.
So then like the rumors spread because then you had to take off again. He was like, yeah, whoa, like, I don't think his knee is good. And this was kind of early on in the whole, yeah, like, you still had how many hours to go?
This was when I was 4 hours in, I think.
4 hours in. And we knew, okay, maybe there's like 10 hours to go. Yeah. So then the rumors spread like, oh my God, his knee. And then I got super worried. Mm-hmm. And then when that we kind of ended the day with the group and then you finished your biking and we didn't know how you were. And in the evening, we decided we were going to come and watch you cross the finish line. So after I taught in the evening, and then we could see on the app how like you went from like your first kilometers of running was pretty strong, like you were like, I don't know, for having gone for like 10 hours already, you were doing really good. And then the second kilometer was like a huge, like you stopped, like you just started walking, and then it was, yeah, like that. So I was really worried and I got really emotional in the car and I was like, oh my God, then this is a broken man, we're gonna have to go find him and like help him run. I had this kind of, I could see us like, okay, we're going to like get you over the finish line by like walking by your side and like making you, you know, I thought you were going to be crying and like fully like a broken man. Yeah. And then we get to Kalmar and it's so packed of people and we have the baby and the stroller and it's like the excitement was just, it was really hard to get places. And the first thing we see when we get out of the car, we walked 5 seconds with the stroller, is Dennis like casually waving at people, smiling, like talking to someone on the side of the road. Like you were, I've never seen you with a smile on your face that big. Like,
yeah, that was the last lap.
But it was just like so typical you. Like your mindset was just so, and I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? You're like, yes, it's so fun. Do you guys know where the finish line is? Do you want me to help you? Wait. And then you stopped and you're like, oh, you have to go left here and then right. And I'm like, dude, like we can find our way to the finish line. Like, are you alive right now? And you were just, you felt fine.
Yeah.
But it's, I really love that about you. Yeah, but it's the mindset of like having fun and finishing and being easygoing versus I think 90% of everybody you saw there had like their jaws like clenched. They couldn't even see people on the side of the road. It was just like,
yeah, they were going for the time, probably.
Yeah, or they're so exhausted at the end. It's like maybe they can barely make it past the finish line.
Maybe when I'm 50 and this is like my full-time hobby, maybe I'll be one of those persons really like trying to beat the best time that I had and really focusing. But for now, it's just...
But even in Aruba, the half Ironman you did,
yeah,
you were like
having fun. And that was a good time.
And everyone else was like, you know, staring at some strange point in front of them in the distance, and you're just smiling, like talking to people. It's, yeah, it's super fun. But do you know, kind of, how do you get that? How can you keep that mindset during such a high pressure event?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know why I feel so happy when I'm doing those things either.
But it's not really normal, I think.
No.
No.
I remember when I was, the day after when I was checking out of the hotel, because I stayed there with my dad. I was in an elevator with two other guys and they asked, how was your Ironman? I'm like, I told them I had so much fun. I finished. It was my first one. And then both of them were like, liar. And then they walked out of the elevator. I didn't even get a chance to like explain myself.
Like it wasn't fun. Like, yeah, it can't be fun. Oh God. That's kind of like how, whenever if you've had a baby and you meet someone who's like, oh my God, so how was labor? Oh, it was amazing. Like, yeah, those women, how it triggers like, okay, how fun for you that it was amazing. Like, so my dad had a baby just 6 weeks before Lea Luna was born. And then he called to kind of share the story. For anyone listening, if you didn't know, my dad just never quits. Has six babies, might have another six, like who knows. His wife is a year older than Dennis. But it's all fine now. Anyway, so they had the baby and he's like telling the story of, yeah, we went to the hospital and contractions were like pretty intense. And then they asked if she wanted the epidural. And she said, you know, I think I want one. So they left the room to get the anesthesiologist. And then the head came out. And 20 seconds later, the baby was there. Like, it took them less than 3 minutes to have this baby. Yeah. And everything was so amazing and so magical. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I had this like almost 30-hour labor. Like, thank you for sharing this. Like, thank you. Like, it's kind of triggering, you know, when something is, for most people, like the most challenging thing they've ever done. I don't think anyone else, hour 12 into an Ironman, is smiling.
Maybe I disagree. I don't know. There must be other people out there having fun.
Yeah, but they're not showing it, maybe. I don't know. I didn't see anyone else, like, talking, laughing.
In the last lap, I was talking to... to everyone I came that passed me or I passed him. I was just asking them about life and stuff.
But you're such a weirdo also because, okay, so the other day, Dennis is like, yeah, I don't know what it is about Swedish people. Like, they don't greet you in the street. Like, if you say hi, can you share that? Like, when you go running?
I think it's really rude if you're walking in the street and someone looks at you in the eyes and they don't say hi. It's kind of weird. Like, if someone looks at me in the eyes, if we cross roads and you see me in my face, I'm gonna greet you. That's just manners.
But that means that you go out for these long runs and you're just, hey, hi, hello.
Well,
hello.
Not like I'm a politician, but if I run and there's someone coming on the opposite side, I'm gonna like either nod my head, smile, or wave. I think that's basic human manners.
Yeah, in Sweden, people probably think that you're a psychopath. Swedish people don't like to interact unless they have to. So I can just...
Even outside our apartment, I greet everyone in the hall. And that's really weird. You live in the same building and then...
No one talks to each other.
No.
No, not at all. No, I mean, I'm sure like if you say hi to someone in the building, they go back to their family. They're like, there's this weird guy living here now. He's trying to talk to me in the hallway. But that's a good quality. I don't want you to ever, lose that.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Capturing your memories is so valuable, and these days it's so easy. What isn't easy is taking our precious moments from our devices to our home so that we can view our precious moments in our day-to-day lives. Do you have hundreds or maybe even thousands of photos living on your phone or on random flash drives, all scattered without one single picture in a frame? That's my life. Now you can take those precious moments out of your phone and put them onto your wall with framebridge.com. I always love placing sentimental photos all around the house. It can just turn my whole day around when I look up and I see a photo of mine and Dennis's wedding day. My favorite photo at the house right now is my baby's face when we dipped her in the ocean for the very first time. Well, with framebridge.com, our home is now filled with even more cherished memories. With their simple online ordering process, you can order a fully customized piece in minutes without ever having to leave your house. Just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo from your computer or even directly from Instagram. If you have a physical photo or artwork, you can send it in and they will provide secured prepaid packaging so you can mail it for free. Preview your photo online in your selected frame or get free help from talented designers and then wait just days, not weeks, for the expert team to frame and deliver your finished piece right to your door, ready to put up on the wall. Instead of paying hundreds at a usual framing store, prices at framebridge.com start at $39 and all shipping is free. Plus, all From the Heart listeners get 15% off their first order when they use the promo code YOGAGIRL. Framebridge.com even offers a happiness guarantee, so if you aren't 100% satisfied with your order, they will make it right. Get started today framing your photos and your art. Go to framebridge.com and use the promo code YOGAGIRL and you'll save an additional 15% off of your first order. That's framebridge.com, promo code YOGAGIRL. Framebridge.com, promo code YOGAGIRL.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
But that's weird. That's one thing. That's when I'm on my own, and that's when I'm running, that's when I'm doing my thing. But whenever we're at an event, like a yoga event, I become the opposite. Like, I become like, I kind of hunch my back. I kind of become this little person.
You become introverted.
Yeah. I don't look at anyone in the face. I just like look down. It's
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. You have those two really serious contrasts.
It's like opposite. No gray.
No gray area at all. Yeah. You're either the most sociable like person ever.
I'm socially challenged.
Or you're socially challenged like at an extreme, in an extreme way. That is super interesting. Like yesterday we went to the dentist and you're like, can you come show me like where to go and kind of talk to the receptionist for me? And I'm like, dude, like you're a grown man. Like go to the dentist yourself. Or the other day we went into the elevator with the baby. And then a man, like a random person, steps in the elevator with us and then it just looks at me, steps out of the elevator and takes the stairs. It's just like...
We were over the capacity.
We were not over. There were three people in that elevator. Oh my God. Yeah, but I mean, you kind of... I don't want to say like you don't like people. Like, of course, you love people. You're just kind of socially awkward sometimes.
Yeah.
But you own it too. Like, you don't try to...
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm really socially awkward, and maybe people think I'm rude at those times, but it's just, I don't know, it's, I don't mean to be.
No, I don't think they think so. I don't know. It's really funny.
So I guess the point is when I'm exercising, I'm really happy and I want to be everybody's friend, and if I'm not...
You're a grump.
Yeah.
But then you managed to finish the run.
Yeah.
And... that crossing the finish line. So I wanted to talk about this during the podcast too, because I've shared a little pieces of it through Instagram, and I shared it also in the retreat that we haven't had in Ireland. But you training for the Ironman was one of the hardest things that I've had to go through. And we still have like differences in, you know, how this kind of went down and why it was hard and what it was. But I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Without fighting.
Okay.
That was another question we got. Like, do you guys ever fight? And I'm like, are they
all the time?
Kidding. Like all the time. Like we don't fight like with yelling and fists, like no, but we like discuss stuff a lot.
With loud voices.
With loud voices. Do you think we fight a lot?
We fight. I don't know what average is for fighting people, but
I don't think so.
We have our differences of opinion a lot.
Yeah,
of the time.
Like we discuss stuff a lot.
Yeah.
Like last night on the couch we spent like an hour discussing like equality and feminism.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would go as far as to say having a baby is the most challenging thing that we have ever gone through as a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
What is the hardest part about being a dad?
I don't know. I guess it's the same thing I said last time. Just freedom. Not being able to grab a backpack and leave, or... if someone tells you, hey, 5 minutes this bar or 5 minutes that park, you can't just, okay, go. I guess that's the most challenging part. But other than that, I don't think it's that hard. Maybe, oh yeah, when we're at night, when we're done, when we're tired and we kind of want to chill, we can't chill. We're still on.
We're on forever.
Yeah.
For the rest of our lives, we're on.
But it's definitely getting easier with her getting older and understanding things.
It is, it is. No, but for me, so the, like, it's a really also contrasting thing, because you started training for the Ironman when I was pregnant, and we decided that, because we had some friends that had that just had a baby earlier, or 6 or 9 months earlier, where they trained for the Ironman as the baby was born, and it was super challenging, like a really horrible thing. So we decided, okay, we're going to do this. Like, you can train for as long as it works for the family, because we didn't know what it was going to be like, of course, to have a baby. And I definitely arrived at like a couple of moments during the past months where I was like, it's not working for me anymore.
Yeah.
And I think our perspectives of, so for a normal person training for an Ironman, say a person that doesn't have a newborn baby and running 7 companies, how much should they train?
Between about 25 hours a week.
So it's like, it's a almost a full-time job. Like it's a half-time job. Yeah. That's a lot of hours for someone.
But you just said it for a normal person training.
Yes, I'm saying like for a normal person, like that's a lot of hours that you should be dedicating here.
Let me put it back. If you're taking Ironman serious and you're going for the time and this is like kind of like your main, not your main, but if it's a huge part of your life, it's like that, 25 hours.
Because then you make a lot of sacrifices, of course. You have to sacrifice other things to be able to do that. And I think from my end, like in your book, because you ended up, of course, not at all training even close to how much you wanted to train to prepare for Ironman.
Yeah.
You felt like you barely trained, like you didn't do anything.
Which is true.
From your end, yes.
Well, and you were nervous because you didn't think I was going to finish because I didn't train enough.
No, I didn't really. Yeah, of course I was nervous about that. But for me, it's like, even if it's 6 hours a week training, like that's 6 hours of me not having support with the baby. Like that was it. So for me, like the 6 hours was a lot. And for you, and you're like, I'm not even training. Like, how can you think that this is a thing? And I'm like, you're not appreciating the fact that you are training, just not as much as you want to. It's still, you know, hours where I have to step up and kind of be that extra person doing even more things.
But at the same time, for me, in that space, when we were in Aruba, you were doing yoga 7 days a week.
Yes.
You were doing
an hour a day.
More than an hour a day. Some of them were longer than an hour.
Have 75 minute classes.
Let's say it's just an hour.
Yoga. Yeah.
And for me, it felt like we were in balance because the amount of hours per week I was gone was the same amount of hours per week you were training. I mean, you were doing yoga. But in your perspective, is my training is maybe 3 times a week, but it will be like one of them is 4 hours and the other one is 1 hour, the other one is 2 hour kind of thing.
Yeah, but also the time of like, okay, you're like, I'm going biking and then you could be gone like 6 or 7 hours that you're gone, but maybe you spent like 4 hours on the bike and you're like, oh, I should have been on the bike for 6 hours, but I only kept it to 4 so I can get home and be with the baby. So for you, you're like, damn, I'm compromising. But then it like you spent 45 minutes taking a dump in the morning and then you went and you're talking to your friends and then it took this and then you went shopping for something. So all in all, on my end, it was like you were gone for 7 hours. I don't give a shit if you spent one of those hours on the bike. Like what time counts for me is the amount of time that's gone.
The difference between us also is like when you go to yoga, I go with you to yoga. I'm there. So you feel you're literally gone for 1 hour.
Yeah, because I take the baby right away afterwards.
Because I'm there with the baby with you, and then I'm there with the baby when you're done. If you would have come 5 a.m. with me to training with the baby, it would have been a lot less too.
Yeah, but hell no, but that's not how it works. But I guess this is kind of, these were the arguments that we've had, like a lot. And it started adding on, and then there were moments where I was like, fuck this shit. Because also, I think one of the bigger pieces is that I am the one who has to work a lot. Yeah. Like, I can't delegate what I do. I can't have someone else write my book or blog or record this podcast or make whatever else that I'm doing in the day. So if I was just, I don't want to use the word just because being a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home dad is like probably the hardest thing that anyone could ever do. But if I only was a stay-at-home mom, it would be totally different.
Yeah.
But then it was like the extra hours that I would get in the day, I had to work.
Yeah.
So I felt like the imbalance was just... It grew and grew and grew. And it was one of those things that just kind of, like right before the Ironman, like I had like an explosion where I was like this.
Yeah, but for me, that explosion is not only Ironman. It's also like
of course
you being nervous in front of a retreat or leaving little baby with your mom.
Yeah, instead it was of me. A lot of things.
It's a mixture of a lot of things and the pressure on me to finish this race.
Yeah, and at the same time, like I was really proud of you. Like I still am. When we talk about Ironman, I'm super proud that you completed that. Like being at the finish line with you, I was crying. Like it was such a huge moment. It's just, and I guess a lot of this is also on my end. Like I started feeling like I'm gonna burn out, like not sleeping at night, taking care of the baby, working so that you can have like extra hours to be on the bicycle and like. Being on the bicycle, it's kind of a self-fulfilling,
like
doing
yoga.
Triathlons? No. Do you think so?
Yeah, I took a yoga class with you a few days ago. That was pretty self-fulfilling.
No, but I mean, not if your whole life and like our entire living is made out of the teaching of yoga. Like if I don't practice yoga and I don't teach yoga, like we don't have an income at the end of the day. Like yoga is like our business. It's our passion, it's life.
You could see it that way. But the same way, like, instead of doing 7 days yoga every damn day, you could do yoga every other damn day and then do something else that is fun in that same hour.
Yeah, but I mean, the same way. So 1 hour of yoga every day keeps me sane so that I can be a better mom, I can be a better wife, I can be a better boss. Like, all those things work, you know. But for me, it's like, that's the max that I can take in a day just to, like, function. And if I can make it happen every day, I do. Here in Sweden, it's really hard. But, like, the 6 hours on a bike and the 14-hour races and, like, the amount of training that has to happen all the time. But you want to do more, right?
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to.
Well, I'm not going to, like, be the dictator of the family. But as it was then, I mean, she's not going to be that little again. Like, it's just getting easier and easier. It's totally freaking true. If it had to be the same way again, like, I would say no. Like, I couldn't do that again. Like, I'm going
to... just to share a little light on our day-to-day... like, I'm the one spending most of the time with baby during the day.
Now,
for the last... Even before... when in Sweden, even before the Ironman, I was walking with her the whole time.
Yeah.
And this Ironman was actually a gift from you for Christmas.
Yeah, I regretted that so much. Now I don't. Like, I'm...
Yeah,
I'm glad we went through this struggle. It's a good gift, but...
But a few years before, I can remember you had three bad Christmases. False promise of IOUs on a piece of papers. And
no, there was only two. Damn, I can't remember what it was.
One of them was the goat. Thank you so much for that goat.
Yeah, that was the lowest. Like, I gifted you the goat, and you're like, this is not a gift for me.
And then the next year, I got like an IOU kind of gift. And then,
I compensated for the goat the year after because there was...
Can't remember
it. I'm gonna have to sit on this for a moment.
And then it was like an IOU Iron Man. I'm like, oh man, this again. And then the pressure on you was so big because you're already gifted to, like...
Yeah, because I want to be a supportive wife. Like, one, I know, like, seeing that smile on your face at the end of that race, like, yeah, like, I want you to be that happy. But there were parts of this training where it's like, we have so many things to do. We've done like 7 retreat groups since the baby was born. She's only 6 months old. Like, there's so much pressure on my shoulders to be the one to, like, provide and perform and to, like, sometimes I feel like I'm alone in, like, providing here. Like, we have that different family constellation than, like, a traditional.
Working.
Right. You stop working and then everything is on my shoulders. And it became like my alone time. I had to work.
Yeah.
And your alone time, you got to train. So for me, it's like, it wasn't fair.
No, that's not true. I never make you feel guilty for...
No, you never feel... No. There was no guilt there, but that was just like...
Even for a long time.
Yeah, but even now, like when you have the baby in the day, like I'm not out like having a grand old time. Like I have pressure to perform and work.
But that's why that doesn't count as time for you or time for me. That's
right,
just
at all.
I'm with the baby.
Exactly.
And then if you go to yoga the night... Like this week, for instance, I think I wanted to go running on Sunday or last week Sunday. And I couldn't on Sunday, but then Monday I couldn't and then Tuesday I couldn't. But those
that's
nights,
also like, dude.
No, but I mean, like, that's for me to move. But those nights, you were able to take a yoga class, or you were able to go have girls' night, or have a wine, and then I feel like, okay, that's time that we could share.
Yeah, we could share, but here it's cool all day. Like, you could run in the middle of the day.
Yeah, and I did.
Yes, so you have to make that priority of like, okay, like in Aruba. That was also part of the thing. Like, we would have a night that didn't work, like where I was up all night long, like baby crying. And then you leave at 6 a.m. to go biking, 5 a.m. to go biking the whole half day. So then I'm like, I never got a break.
But that's only on Sundays, though, to
yes,
be honest.
But I mean,
once a week.
Before the Ironman, the pressure of like, you would never say no because you had to train. Because, of course, there's this pressure of like, fuck, maybe I won't make it. Now, like, I feel like you train the same now, but the pressure is off. So it's like, if we have a bad night and I'm like, I need another 45 minutes of sleep or I'm not going to work, I can't function. You would stay home and you would just bike another day, or like there's flexibility now that wasn't present there.
That's the thing where I think you and me are, where we're still not on the same page. Because for me, during the Ironman, I felt like I would do those things too, except for that Sunday that you keep mentioning.
Yeah, but I don't agree here at all, like at all. But it's also, it didn't even really occur to me until we started having these arguments of the fact that I'm alone in the night with her. Yeah. And I decided that early on. Like, what's the point in waking you up so you can stare at me while I breastfeed the baby every hour? And then you're useless in the day. So, like, there's no point in waking you up. I'm not going to, no. But 6 months of not sleeping one single night, like it kind of gets to you after a while.
I know, right? All the nagging. Dude, you have no clue to have your wife nag
up
the whole day. I'm like, not sleeping.
And it's so funny because people ask that all the time. Like, do you share the nights? You don't, like, you're like a zombie. I think you could sleep through like an earthquake, a hurricane. Like waking Dennis up in the middle of the night is a project on its own.
But I want to share the nights. I told you this.
Yes.
I told you that you
the
go
road to hell is paved with good intention.
No, but I mean, how many times did I ask you to go sleep at your mom's? And like,
yes,
I will...
since we had the really peak issue here, yeah, but that never happened. But I mean,
but do you remember
when the baby was, I don't know, just how many weeks old, and then I finally, like, she was just up the whole night, and I finally had enough. And I woke Dennis up and I'm like, you have to take her now. And then you're like, oh, and you pissed off and like,
yeah, that was
grouchy
like
3 a.m. Yeah, like just kind of, you're not like a good nighttime person at all. And then you have her and you're walking up and down, like bouncing this like crying baby. And of course, I can't like sleep. I'm just like lying there, like trying to see what's happening. And then in the middle of it, you stop and you're like, babes, I'm dropping the baby. I'm dropping the baby. Take the baby. And I'm like, what? Just don't drop the baby. And she's slowly sliding down your body because you were asleep.
Yeah. Like,
it's so, so funny.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
Bra shopping is not my favorite thing to do, and I know I am not alone. I would much rather spend time with my baby or go to a yoga class. But what if you could skip all the hassle and find your perfect fitting bra in just minutes? Well, now with Third Love, you can. I opt for comfort over restriction, and I actually didn't wear a bra for years, thinking I couldn't have both support and something I didn't want to take off minutes after putting it on. I decided to come back to bras recently now that I'm breastfeeding and I'm a mom, but I remember just how hard it can be to find a bra that actually fits. Well, thanks to a new bra company, I now have a bra that fits super well and is comfortable all day long. Third Love has changed the industry. Using women's real measurements and super smoothing memory foam, Third Love creates bras that fit better and that feel great. They are obsessed with finding the perfect fit for every person out there, which is why they are the only lingerie brand with half cup sizes. There's a perfect bra for everyone. Find yours in just seconds by answering a few simple questions on Third Love's Fit Finder. For all of you in the U.S., you can go to thirdlove.com/heart and just pay for shipping. And Third Love's signature 24/7 bra is on its way. You can really test out your new bra as well. Just cut the tags off, wash it, wear it all day long through every activity on your schedule. It's so comfortable, you might even forget that you're wearing it. And if the bra is not your new favorite after 30 days, you can easily return or exchange it for free. Go to thirdlove.com/heart right now to find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 whole days. That's thirdlove.com/heart to try your new favorite bra for free. thirdlove.com/heart. We were talking about that yesterday. Like, I don't know if it's a physiological thing. I mean, for sure, when you've given birth, like, you also have a lot of adrenaline, and like, breastfeeding makes you like, you know, I would never be asleep holding the baby, but it's a different thing being a dad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm dropping the baby. Please just don't drop the baby. No, but I mean, all of that stuff, like, it counts. But yeah. I'm also used to not, I don't know. Like, I'm used to just doing all the things, and I don't like compromising and not doing everything at work and not being with the baby all the time. Like, I want to do everything. And actually, I think the lesson here is we shouldn't.
How do you mean?
Like, we shouldn't try to do everything at the same time.
No, but you, like, when you go to work, you feel guilty for going to work, for instance, which I don't think you should, but.
I don't know how to get
away
from that.
We're still learning, no?
Yeah, we're still learning. But I have to say, you are the best dad. Do you feel like the best dad?
You scream at me, I don't.
So these days now, like, we have an office here, so I go to work. Like yesterday, for instance, where I didn't even breastfeed her all day. I had to go mid-shoot. We were doing this shoot, and I had to go into the bathroom and like hand express breast milk with my hands into the sink because my boobs were...
No, you didn't bring the pump.
I didn't bring the pump, and it was just horrible. And now that she's eating some stuff, like she eats some like porridge and cereals and stuff, and it's getting much, much, much easier. I never, ever
But worry. Now I have enough breast milk too.
Yes.
So one of the problems for me that we had, now that we're talking about this, was that I had to follow you around for you to be able to do work. I had to, like...
Because of milk,
because of feeding her. So I had to take care of the baby so you can work. But at the same time, I had to be able to feed the baby. And I couldn't do that without breast milk. And you weren't really pumping, or the milk doesn't want to come out when you were pumping back then. And that was just very challenging for me, because I was just, I wasn't my own person. I couldn't make my own decisions. And I was, I felt like, I don't know. And then when we're together, and when we're together, you backseat parent. So if I have the baby,
but it's hard not to be a backseat parent.
When I have the baby, you're like, no, not that sock. No, not that jeans. No, not that shirt. Hold it this way. Do this. Do that. And then I'm like, okay, I can't even make my own decision, go where I want to go, and then I can't even take care of my baby. And of course, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm going to fully give you all this for 100%, right? But you have no idea how many times a day I like swallow that urge to like, don't feed her like that. Like, God, don't forget to burp her. Like, my mind is you know, in the middle of the night, like 2 nights ago, I wake up, I open my eyes, and I'm like, I think she's going to poop soon. And then I hear like, like, there's like an instinct with being a mom that's just, yeah.
But you know that feeling that you just described? That you feel like you're like swallowing and not saying anything? And
yes.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah.
So with a triathlon, like not training and compromising.
I guess we're both compromising a lot. Yeah. But it's good to vent this stuff. Like the reason we had to have that big blowout where I was like, fuck, like I'm going to lose my fucking mind. You know, like because we didn't talk about it in a really open, like cry it out, like
but you're not,
angry way.
When you're that angry, you're not open to really talking. Like, I don't mean you, but I mean like as humans, when you're in it, you're not looking anything objectively.
Yeah. But did you feel like, because, so let's go into this, like the feminine and the masculine, like side of
things. Oh, everyone's going to hate
me. Yeah, let's do this. This is good. It's good to talk about.
How many of these listeners are female?
Yeah, all of them? No, there's a bunch of guys here too. But this is a really important thing. So first of all, we are not like a traditional family constellation of family. No, we are like a very modern, I don't know. We're doing things specifically for Aruba and Central America. So yeah. I work and you're home with a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have now... 4-hour work week. I can write a book about it, even though there's a book already about it, but it'll be a little different.
It'll be a little different. The 4-hour work week is like, wake up, go have a coffee over here, go have a fika over here, and then send one email when the baby sleeps.
You mean the real 4-hour week or mine?
No, yours.
Oh.
Yes. Like one email here. I send one email this week. No, but... just the fact, so it took us a while to land there. We decided pretty early on, like before we had the baby, you used to always say like, your dream is to be like a latte pappa. We've spoken about this term before. Latte pappa is, so in Sweden, the dads are obliged to take out paternity leave. So you see a lot of dads around Stockholm or around Sweden, kind of pushing strollers, holding their cafe lattes, like being a latte
dad. The first time I said that, I didn't know that this term existed at all.
No, but you always said that you wanted.
Yeah, I think when I was 23 year old, when we just met, we were just talking with stupid stuff about the future. And I said, yeah, when we have a baby. And I remember that you were 21, I was 23. And we didn't plan it, but we both decided that it would be great to have a baby when I'm 30 and you're 28. And that happened.
Yeah.
And back then I also said like my dream would be, you know, I wake up in the morning, I bring the kids to school, I go practice on my golf swing because, you know, that's what I thought I should be doing when I'm older. I don't play golf yet.
You should be golfing when you're older. Yeah. I think you will be.
I probably will.
I have an inkling. Yeah. No, but I mean, so that was kind of always in the back of our heads. Like, and when we met, you were managing a surf shop, and then you opened Salad Skate Shop, and then it's like the yoga part of things took over, and that's also where the opportunity was, and like also where we started making money.
Yeah.
So we went that direction. So already early on, you made a lot of sacrifices for me pursuing my career, which is, I think, not super common in the traditional constellation macho culture, but also husband and wife, girlfriend, boyfriend. Like,
yeah.
It happened that way. Was that hard for you then?
No. It was a part of life. It was hard to close Salad Skate Shop, but it had to be done. Like both me and my partner, my best friend, I was traveling a lot with you where we were still open. It wasn't so fair for him to stay alone with the shop all the time. And then he pursued even further into his beach tennis and art career. So he started traveling a lot too, and the shop was not doing good enough to hire a full-time manager to take care of it. It was just making ends meet at the time. And we closed it down. We didn't do any bankruptcy or anything. We just did a huge sale for all the kids and then closed doors. And then we went to Sweden and we got married.
Yeah, that's how it happened. All of it at the same year. But it was really because yoga, of course, in the beginning wasn't like your thing.
No.
But also because all the opportunity was there. And of course, like we started making money that way and we can make a living that way. There has been a lot of sacrifice on that end, like, for you. And now with the baby, I think we realized pretty fast that, like, also the idea of like being a stay-at-home dad, like, it's not as easy
as well, not if you don't have any control.
Yes.
Not like to, it's.
But because she was so little.
Yeah, but we were fighting because you were like, you wanted to be a stay-at-home dad, but I couldn't stay at home. I had to follow you around and your breasts, not even for me, for her.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, it's also not. Like, normally you have, like, as a mom, you stay home for the first year and you just breastfeed. And traditionally, like, the dad would go to work and provide and
that's in
whatever.
Sweden, though.
Yeah.
Like, in many parts of the world, including Holland, which is kind of right there for Sweden, like, I think you get 2.5 months, maybe 3 months, and the dad gets a day and a half.
Yeah.
So then the dad has to go to work immediately already. And we were very lucky. Like, in any other jobs, both of us would have to be working now, and she would, except for Sweden, she would have to be in some kind of daycare, some kind of, like...
The thought of that for me is, yeah, I'm really, really grateful that we don't have to do that. But, like, we have my friend Sarah, who's been on maternity leave for, like, a year and a half. Like, it's totally normal here. And then her guy is also taking his days, and, you know, you get a lot of time to be at home with your baby. But I don't think... the tradition is still, even if the mom goes back to work, is not that like the dad is the one staying home giving a bottle of breast milk. Like, and she was so, I feel like my mom kept telling us this, like, because we had those struggles, like, it's not forever. Like, it's just when she's this little, she's soon going to start eating other foods. You know, it's going to be easier and easier and easier, and freedom will come there. And now it's taken 6 months, but the past few weeks in Sweden, now this past month, I feel we've arrived at this.
And for me, it's been the last few, since the Ironman finished and you had that, or we both had that pressure off our shoulders.
Yeah, it's
everything
been better.
Got really easy.
But it's been 1 month since Ironman.
Yeah, it's been 1 month since Ironman, and now we have an abundance of breast milk in the freezer.
Yeah, but
and she's
don't you think that's related, though? Like, I couldn't pump because
pump
I was so
stressed
and so much pressure, and like, because that's also like pumping is like it's the only way I could work, right? And the only way we wouldn't fight, because you could do what you want, like, go see Patrick, go to another city, doesn't matter, like, you have all the food you need. So there was so much pressure there, and now as soon as that released, Ironman is over, everyone can like chill the fuck out. Then all of a sudden, my milk started flowing when I was pumping, and now we have like abundance of food for her, which is really good. But people ask this question a lot. Like, being say we would stay in Sweden now. I mean, now we're going to Aruba. We're always going to have the studio there. The offices are at the studio. Like, we're not going to have that where I leave and I'm gone the entire day. And I come back at 7 p.m. and I say hi to the baby. Like, we're always going to have this dynamic situation going. But is it a challenging thing to step into the role of being a stay-at-home dad? As a man, you know, as a man,
no. Like, as a man-female kind of thing, like, no, I don't think that's weird at all. If it's a challenge being a stay-at-home dad, as a person, like, gender-neutral person, yes, I think it's hard because I've never done it before.
So being stay-at-home parent, you mean, it doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad.
So I just have to get used to, like, doing it. And as long as I can do my 4 hours a week so I can stay sane too.
To train, you mean?
No, my 4 hours a week of work.
Of work, oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Training, I need more than that. Come on.
Come on. You need more hours.
Yeah, no, but it's... I know at some time I'm going to come back to work and I just need to stay up to date. I don't want to like lose everything we built, especially now that everything is going so fast.
But didn't you feel like there was a part of like doing the Ironman like at this point of our lives? Like, was there a part of that where you felt like you needed to accomplish something?
No.
Because you said that, didn't you remember, during one of our fights?
Yeah,
you
I
felt
feel like I need to accomplish something, but it didn't mean like a 14-hour race.
How about anything? An Ironman was like a reflection.
It means like having a full day of work, or having like following you for a whole week and not being able to take care of the baby on my own. It really makes me feel powerless, useless. Yeah, I can't do anything. So what I meant in that fight with accomplishment is like, I need to be able to make my own decisions. I need to be able to be my own person.
Ironman a reflection of that, like during these months?
Not at all. You think it is?
I really think it is. Yeah, because it is really...
The training.
Yeah, of course, not the race itself, but the training to accomplish something.
The training to go away and be able, like, I made the decision to go running for 10 miles. I made the decision to go biking for 3. But it could have been something else too.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the same for... Like, imagine having that, because I have that feeling too. But, like... Yeah. I didn't get to sleep a single night. Like, my body doesn't belong to me. Like, my body is just... The purpose of my body right now is to feed another human being who's, like, clawing at my boobs all night long.
But to be honest, that's a decision that you're making.
How do you mean? If I can't choose not to feed the baby. I can't choose not to be up at night.
Like, no, but I've asked you, or I suggested numerous of time, and your mom too, to just go sleep one night there. Yeah, and I would stay here. I would sleep during the day and be awake the whole night to make sure she's...
Yeah, but one night is not going to change the like reality of just what it's like to be a mom.
Yeah, but I want to do this a few times a week, maybe once or twice a week.
That's not going to happen. No.
Well, you're not open to trying it either.
No, it's not going to be temporary. Like that. Like when in the midst of the worst sleep deprivation was like, okay, take one night, go sleep at your mom's and you take the baby just so I can become like not have a nervous breakdown like that I get. But it's not like a sustainable thing being... not sleeping with the baby. Like when we come home now, we're going to have different routines again. And like, it's always hard when we're traveling and being in this tiny apartment where we have no bedroom. Like that's the hardest piece. But that same feeling of not having the freedom to just like make your own decisions and go and do your own thing. Like it's the same struggle for both you and me. It's just manifesting in different ways.
Yeah.
Being a parent's fucking hard.
Yeah.
You are listening to From the Heart, Conversations with Yoga Girl.
I love starting my day out with a beautiful smoothie packed with superfoods to fuel my body and mind. Well, knowing how to pair fruits and veggies can take practice. Adding in superfood powders that sound and taste mysterious is a whole other challenge to master. Well, you can take the guesswork and the time-consuming trial and error out of your shopping and out of your blending. Now you can get all of your superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. Daily Harvest sends superfoods eats straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, and even nice cream, vegan sundaes. The produce is all organic and unrefined, and it looks as amazing as it tastes. You can actually see the whole ingredients when you open up each cup. Daily Harvest works closely with local farmers across the U.S. and freezes all ingredients at peak freshness to seal in the maximum nutritional value, unlike other fruits and veggies that are picked and packaged long before their nutritional peak. Each single serving cup comes ready to blend or heat and can be stored in the freezer ready whenever you are. Enjoying your cup of Daily Harvest is super duper easy. Just add water, maybe coconut milk if you're feeling fancy, and then blend and heat. In just 30 seconds, you have an insanely delicious and nutritious meal so you can eat right now. Go to daily-harvest.com and enter promo code YOGAGIRL to get 3 items free off of your first box. That's the promo code YOGAGIRL for 3 free Daily Harvest cups at daily-harvest.com. daily-harvest.com. But what about the...
I feel for you, it's easier to make a decision that, okay, Monday night, I'm going to have this wine. And then you're like, oh yeah, by the way, Monday night, I'm having wine. Like, you just tell me. And when I tell you, like, oh, Monday night, I'm going to have wine, I don't tell you. I'm like, hey, is it okay?
That's not true.
That's fully true.
Except you do it with training. And then you learn through trial and error, like, okay, you have to tell me way in advance or we're going to have like...
No, you're like, why don't you do boys' night? I'm like... You don't even let me go for a 1-hour run. Of course, if I had to choose between boys' night or a 1-hour run, I'm going to choose the 1-hour run.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess that's the difference. And I choose the girls' night.
And the wine.
Yes. Instead of like, yeah, I didn't do yoga yesterday. I had wine with my girlfriends. Like that was the choice. But it depends on where I'm at. Like for me to stay sane, I need to be able to vent and talk and have that night of just being totally chill. But we've had a lot of nights where I tried to do that and then had to go home because it didn't work with the baby. Like it hasn't been, I haven't felt calm. Like I felt yesterday, like having one with my friends, feeling really calm. Like I know, like there's no panic. Like even if she cries, something's up, like it's totally, everything is fine now. Yeah. And it has to do with her being older. Like Yeah, it's not easy. But what do you feel about, like, getting back to complete this idea of the feminine and the masculine? Yeah. You said, like, women that are listening are not going to get pissed.
No,
what's the idea behind? Do you feel like there
me,
is a difference?
Equality means equality. For you, like, I feel like now more than ever, you're like a super feminist, feminist. How do you say?
Feminist, yeah.
Feminist activist. And
would you say you're a feminist?
I don't even know what the word means. That's
I
a problem.
Know. That's the problem. So if you say being a feminist is just the fact that you believe in equality.
Yes, yes, of course.
So then you are a feminist.
But I feel like equality, like with you, it doesn't feel equality. You feel like women should get more because of all the times in the past that woman has been mistreated. And I feel like equality should be equality. Like going from one extreme to the other extreme doesn't really like help either. We should just be equal.
Yes,
like there shouldn't
should
be,
just be equal,
there shouldn't
but we're
be a
not.
Gender. Like I go to it as far as in sports. Like a lot of people say, like, oh, women should make as much as men. I'm like, well, there shouldn't be a man or a woman. There should just be one division. If you're good, you're
it shouldn't
playing.
Be like women's soccer and men's soccer.
No,
it
just
be
soccer.
Soccer. Yeah.
And if you're good, you're playing that division. If you're amateur and you want to classify yourself or categorize yourself, you go into the amateur. But that's, I think that's why I think all women will hate me.
No. And I fully understand what you're saying. And that's really nice and true and fair. And it's also part of being a white man, privileged and kind of sitting on top of your little hierarchy of society, never having to...
You know, I'm the only man working in our building.
Yes, of course. You're the only man working in the building, but you've never had to reflect deeply on what it's like to struggle with the hierarchy of society because you haven't had that.
Exactly. And that's where we come back, that you feel that women should deserve more.
No.
To compromise, to be equal.
What I feel is that because it's not an equal playing field right now. It's not.
Yeah,
it's absolutely not.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact date. What is it? It's August 17th or whatever is the date when men can stop working for the rest of the year and have the same salary as a woman working a full 365 day a year.
That's
like
not
it's
right.
So unfair. Women make what, 70 cents to the dollar, like globally in the Western world compared
and
to
I
men.
Agree that that's
totally not
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I feel now is I have a responsibility within our business to pick a woman. If I have two people that are equally competent and equally good at what they're doing, a man and a woman, I'm going to choose the woman because we need to even out the playing field. And when it's even, when we're at a place of equality, then it shouldn't be gender biased at all. You shouldn't think about, is it a man or a woman? You just choose the person who's best for the job. But because we're not there.
You were giving this example of your friend's work where they had to choose, they had to... hire 50 women and a 50 man.
It's really common also in... I have to actually look this word up. In Swedish, we say kvotering, which is like...
Quota.
Like you have a quota of women or minority that you have to hire within the company, for instance.
Yeah.
And
for me,
and you disagree with that.
I fully disagree with that. I think that's really sexist. I think like they should just interview and give everybody equal chance. If that means that company has 80 women, 20 men, because that 80 women is more qualified, so be it.
Yeah, but the problem is, so for instance, this company that we were talking about yesterday, it's every executive and every management position in that company is taken up by a man.
Yeah.
So there's never been a chance for a woman to advance at all. So it doesn't matter that they have 50 women working, 50 men, all the men have the management position. So all the men are the ones that advance. And then they say, oh, we're such an equal company because we use this quotation to bring women into the workplace. But it doesn't make a fucking difference at the end of the day because the women are not making the same type of salaries. They're not coming into these management positions. So you have to first even out the playing field.
So
like that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you have to first give female more, like what
yes,
you're saying.
Yes, yes. And I fucking hate
it's
it
like
because
the,
it's like the future is female. I fucking love this movement because
yeah, it's
it
nice.
Should be. And that's also the thing. Like, and I have a really hard time with being a white woman. Of course, like I'm a minority in a way that suffering through injustice
yeah, but you're a
for
woman.
Being a woman. Yeah, but that's only compared to, like I'm a white woman. That's only compared to being a white man. A white man
try
is at the
being
top.
A white blonde man.
Poor you.
Everyone hates you.
Everyone hates you. No, and that's also not true, but it's still true that you, your kind, whatever, rules the world. But I don't know what it's like to be a cultural minority. I don't know what it's like if I was a black woman or Hispanic, or it's a reality that I can't put my, I can't even imagine it because I
but
haven't suffered through that injustice. But because of that, I have a responsibility to speak up
exactly.
about shit that happened. But and every time I do...
That I fully agree with. And,
yes.
And it sucks that like you feel that you have to do this, or a Hispanic person feels like they have to get their voice out there, or a Black person feels like they have to get justice, because there is a lot of injustices. There is a lot of like non-equality. Like it's not equal, like you said.
Yeah, but that's... And that's also a lot of, I think, that a lot of white men out there, like the people that run the company that my friend works at, that we spoke about yesterday, they don't even acknowledge the fact. Like people think that, oh, Sweden is like the most equal country in the world. Like, look at how much paternity leave we have, and we have this and this and that. Yeah, on paper, that's what it is. In real life, like in the workplace, that's still not the case. Like, still not the case.
But I'm also a little kid that was born in an island that has 80 nationalities.
Yeah,
like. True. My group of friends is like an ad for Color of Benetton.
It's like a yes.
So for me, it's also like very weird to understand this because I haven't dealt with it. Right. And maybe it's because I'm.
But
the
you
white
were a minority
or,
in school. Like, yeah. You were, there was fewer.
I was the blanquito, the
white. You were the white kid in school. Yeah. So it's totally. Yeah. I think sometimes people look at us and they're like, oh, look at these two, like this white couple, so privileged. Like, you are,
Privileged.
We are super privileged, but also you are Caribbean born and raised. Most of our friends are not just regular blonde and blue eyed people.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're getting off topic. But I I feel more than ever so passionate about raising these women issues. And they're not even, they shouldn't be female issues. They're men issues. They're humanitarian issues.
Yeah.
And addressing the parts and points of society where it is not equal, like we have to speak up. And also, if you have all the privilege, you don't even have to think about all the injustice, like even more, what can I do to change this conversation? Which for us now involves like, I'm going to be a little gender biased for a little while, and I'm going to hire
you
more.
You are super gender biased.
I am super gender biased right now because I want to raise the voice of the woman.
Yeah.
It's fully true.
But the way you were speaking about men in general, like a few days ago, is like you have a hate for men. And
not
I don't think that's right.
Not a hate for men. That's not true. What do you mean? I love you. I have a lot of men in my life that I absolutely love and adore. What I can't stand right now, and we've unfortunately had to deal
suit.
With a lot with this in our company, is the big man ego. I have a huge issue with that. And we've had, I don't know, 3 or 4 times in a row, issues with someone within the company that thinks that they are the best in the world at everything. And I am like, no one could ever beat me. And I am the greatest, like no humility there. And I have a really hard time dealing with that. And that's something that I feel is at least in my world reflected as like a man ego thing.
Yeah.
And I guess Iron Man, like it's like the epitome of the
person. Iron person.
Iron Man. It should be called Iron Person. But I'm trying to, because we are in a really good place now. Do you feel like, I at least feel like it was good that we got to have these challenges. It was good that we got to have these fights, because we haven't had fights like that in a long time.
Yeah, and then I went and bought a bike.
Yeah, fuck that shit. So the other day he comes home with a new bike and I'm like, is this a joke? Like, are you kidding? And then he says, no, I sold my motorcycle at home so I could pay for this bike. So you don't even have to know that this happened. It's not affecting our personal economy. And I'm like, that's not the point. Like,
there's so much more than being a trophy husband.
Yeah, it's hard being a trophy husband.
Yeah, you can't just be there and look pretty. You have to go out and shop and stuff.
Oh my God. Well, let's...
Let's
call it quits. Let's see where this goes. But I want you on the show more often.
Cool.
You want to be on the show more often?
Yeah.
Once a month?
Sure.
Shake on it?
Well, they can't see if we shake.
Well,
we're shaking right now.
We're not. You're lying. Shake my hand.
I can see your hand. It's
shake
going
my
up
hand.
And down.
Shake my hand. Once a month. Okay, I got like half a high five. We'll see where it goes. But I love you a lot.
Ditto.
Thanks for being the best dad.
Did we answer any questions? Though I felt like
we answered a bunch. I just kind of weaved them in. A lot of it was about this. People are wondering, like, is it hard for Dennis to be a stay-at-home dad?
Oh, I thought it was about the Iron Man.
A lot about the Iron Man. We covered that too. We covered a lot of stuff. I love you. Say it back, you bastard.
They know.
They know. They know. They know. Okay. What does the trophy husband have on the agenda today?
Oh, I have to do a lot of packing, actually. Mm. And it's going to be very hard to do that while
having...
Yeah. And I have to buy a bunch of curtains and stuff.
I love this. so much. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. I'll see you next week, and you'll see Dennis in a month.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye. A big thank you to my guest, Dennis Schoneveld, my dear, dear husband, for joining me for a second time on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to listen and subscribe to other great episodes of From the Heart Conversations with Yoga Girl. You can find all of these on rachelbraithen.com, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or anywhere you normally get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave a review while you are there. Thanks to the folks at Cadence 13 for their production work, and of course, thanks to my sponsors, Take Care Of, Framebridge, Third Love, and Daily Harvest. Please support them the way they support this podcast. I will see you next week.